and appreciate what God's doing. And I appreciate your pastor, his heart for revival. And I tell this to people across the country, and I'm traveling. I really believe that Brother Barry's one of the best, if not the best, preachers on revival in this country to help the local church. So you're blessed to have that. Thank God for it. A lot of pastors I preach for have no idea or no concern for real revival. Real revival is not a tickle. Real revival is not even shouting. Real revival will cause you to leave the building and still be on fire for God, regardless if you're in a church service, and it'll make a difference in your life. And so I appreciate the fact of being here tonight, and I just want to mind the Lord and ask God to help us tonight. Amen? Amen. Don't you love Jesus? Amen. Praise God. We all should have went to hell. Amen. He said, "Preacher, what are you doing?" "I'm trying to calm down so I can preach." Lord, have mercy. Y'all, that got me plumb stirred up. Amen. And, listen, I don't get nervous about stuff like this. I like it. Matter of fact, I'll get me something and fan it. Amen. It does not bother me. I promise you. I like it. It's good to get in the local church home folk. They're excited about Jesus. Amen. Acts chapter 19, verse number 11, if you would. And I want to read down through verse number 16 and then give you what God's got on my heart. The Bible says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons. The diseases departed from them, the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." If you give me just a few moments tonight. This past week I was studying for a Sunday morning message at my church. And I was sitting down and a couple books I was reading on my desk, and I was reading them, and I got turned to this passage of the Word of God. I can't tell you that I was led by God to it, though I believe now I was. But I was just going through my Bible and I looked at this. As I looked at it, God began to speak to my heart about something that's a real burden for me tonight that I want to share with you. And as I was looking at it, I began to read some things and realize that if we're ever living in a day where we're fighting the devil and the demons of hell, it is the day that we're living in. I have never, preacher, seen the likes of the devil and demonic activity as you see in our day today. Are you listening to me? I believe with all my heart that demons are real. I believe with all my heart that the devil had legions. The devil, there were many that fell with him. And understand, he's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. But I'm telling you right now, the devil is real and demons are real. Paul was doing the work of God, preaching. And some of them saw what Paul was doing. So they decided they were going to try. Don't you watch now. You go ahead and be seated. Don't you listen to me what I'm saying now. They thought what we're going to do is we're going to try that. What we're going to do is we're going to do our best to do the same things that Paul was doing. But the problem was, is this crowd didn't know God like Paul knew God, didn't have a touch like Paul had, and the difference was, instead of the demons fleeing from Paul, the demons jumped on them. But I want to preach tonight on the question that the devil asked these sons of Sceva. He said, "Jesus, I know." They said, "Paul, I know. But who are you?" I want to preach tonight on this song. Does the devil know your name? Does the devil know your name? Now, I about had a conniption when I began to study this. I have read it for years. But I did not realize. I sat down, and I know your pastor enjoys word studies, and I do as well. And when I read that, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, I thought that the word know was the same word, but it's not. It's two different words. It's two different ideas. When it says Jesus I know and Paul I know, the demon is not talking about here. The word here is not the same for both.
What about that?
Now I want to tell you something. When I found out what it meant, when I studied out that word know and realized what God was saying, you say, well, the demon was saying it. Yeah, but where's it found? It's found in the Word of God. This Bible's inspired, infallible. It is God's Word. And God put it here so He could give us the truth of what was said that day.
Yes,
Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Does the devil know your name? I told someone a while back, I said, when I'm dead and gone, if the Lord doesn't come in the rapture, and I'd like to go by the way of the clouds than the clods, amen? But the way I live my life, sometimes I wonder which one I'll go. Preacher was joking a little bit while ago. I had to be Saturday down in a racetrack to ride a sport bike at Road Atlanta, and I was going down the backstretch. I'm not kidding you. I was going down the backstretch in a draft of four motorcycles tucked in, and I looked down, and the speedometer was bouncing at 181 miles an hour, and I was in a draft going down back, and all of a sudden, your preacher's words come into my head. Hope Brother Hazel don't get hurt before he makes it up here.
Yeah.
And I thought, Lord, so I backed off to 178.
Yeah.
Amen. You say, preacher, what do you mean? What I'm trying to say is, one day if the Lord takes me away from this world and I'm laying in a casket somewhere in front of a church, hey, and though all the people I pastor and those I've led to Christ may come, I hope the devil and the demons of hell come by where I am and say, man, I'm glad he's gone. I want to make a difference. I want the devil to get nervous about my life. Don't you listen to me. Most Christians don't make the devil nervous. Most of our church services don't make the devil nervous. We can sing songs. We can have pretty outlines. We can bring messages. We can do a lot of things. And it really doesn't make the devil nervous. But honey, if we ever walk inside of the house of God full of the Holy Ghost, like some of you came in here tonight and made up your mind, I'm not here to waste an hour. I'm not here to waste my time. I'm expecting God to do something. I want God to do something. Then the devil gets nervous. Now I want you to watch this. The two words here are interesting. When the Bible says, Jesus I know, that word know simply deals with experience. And what the devil is saying is Jesus I know by experience. We've had some dealings with Him. We can take 5 minutes and shout. Now listen, buddy. Don't you get too happy. Your singing's already got my clock turned. You get to shout and I'm done. All right. Hey, I want you to understand. He said, Jesus, I know. By the devil said, hey, we know all about Him. We know what He's like. He's got His hand or His heel on the head of our leader. We know everything. We know all about this Jesus. We know who He is. They said, Jesus, I know, that's by experience.
Yeah.
I thought it's the same word about Paul, but it's not. Jesus, I know, we have experienced Him. But then it says, Paul, I know.
Yeah.
When it says, Jesus, I know, it's the idea of experience. But when it says, Paul, I know, it's the idea of observation.
Yeah.
Or listen to this. We got our eyes on Him.
Yeah. We've heard that.
We're watching him. He is becoming a bother to us. Hey, he is bothering us. Too many folks are getting saved. Too many folks are getting help. Too many folks are getting... That fella is bothering us. So we're observing him.
Oh, yeah. Hey, God help us to bother him.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had enough God on us? I feel a little tug from glory. If we had enough power on us. That word power in the Bible is the word dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. And wouldn't it be wonderful if God turned a bucket of dynamite over inside of our soul, blew the devil out of us, and filled us with the power of God? Brother, what's your name? What's that song? Brother Brian? What if the devil said tonight, Jesus I know, Brian I know, he's a bothering me. I wish he wouldn't sing like that. I wish he wouldn't testify like that. That's bothering me. I don't know about you, but I want to bother the devil like the Apostle Paul bothered the devil. And my Lord, had he bothered us enough? I want to bother him as well. The demons knew Paul. Now before I go any farther, stay with me. Paul wasn't any different than you and I. Paul got saved by the grace of God. Paul got washed in the blood of the Lamb. Paul was a sinner. Paul was just like you and I. He was a man. He was mankind. Hey, Paul was no different. He was just someone lost that God saved. Which tells me that if God did it in Paul, God could do it in me. If Paul could aggravate the devil. Hey, listen to me. You ladies in here. Your husband knows what aggravates you.
Amen.
They all trying to act spiritual like all, they know exactly. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, there are things your spouse can do that aggravates you that nobody else can do. My wife told me one day, she said, "You're aggravating me." And I said, "I'm trying to." Amen. She said, "You're doing a good job. Stop it." You've been married 25 years. You run out of stuff to aggravate. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, we know what to do. And just like that, we also realize that we know what aggravates the devil. Now what I want to do just a moment, if we could, I want to take a look at the Apostle Paul's life. And I want to find out why he was such a bother to the devil. Why in the world did Paul bother Satan so much? Let's look first of all. Paul had power with sovereignty.
Yes, sir.
Paul had a touch of God.
Yes, sir.
Paul's life demonstrated the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes.
When you were around Paul, you felt God. When you were around Paul, you experienced God moving. When you were around Paul, you knew God was doing something. God was on him and in him and working through him. Paul had power with sovereignty. Now, how did he get that? How do you get power with sovereignty or with God? I know a lot of people say, well, I know some people got power with God, and I believe they have it because of this. Listen, I want to give you an illustration. I was doing a youth conference and Dr. Larry Brown was preaching with me. And in the youth conference we were doing, Brother Brown and I were there and sitting somewhere near the front, and Brother Brown went up and was preaching, and he gave this testimony when he first started preaching. He hadn't been preaching any time at all. And he said that he was in a meeting that Brother Billy Kelly was in as well. And he said that as a young preacher, he had fasted and he had prayed all day long that God would use him. He said all day long he'd been praying and fasting. Now, I'm not de-emphasizing that, so don't misunderstand me, but stay with me a moment. And he said all day long he had prayed and fasted and said, God, use me tonight. And he said, in the afternoon, he got a phone call in his motel room. In his motel room, he answered the phone. On the other line was Brother Billy Kelly. He was staying in the same motel, and he asked Brother Brown to come up to the floor he was on and said, I want you to try something. Brother Brown said he left out of his room. He'd been praying, and he goes up, and he said he stepped on the floor of the hotel and he smelt fish cooking. And Brother Billy Kelly in his motel room had a little bucket with a flame underneath it in his motel room cooking fish. Brother Brown said when he walked in the door, Brother Kelly had on his boxer shorts and his t-shirt, and Brother Brown said, no man alive ought to have to see that. And he said he walked in, and Brother Brown said, he was there cooking fish. He said, I've been praying and fasting all day, and he's cooking fish. So they get to the service that night. Brother Brown praying, fasting, God use me. Brother Billy Kelly sitting there, rode over in his truck, coon dog boxes on the back, pickup truck rusted, and pull in the parking lot, side of that big meeting, packed house. So they asked Brother Billy to come up on the platform. Been eating fish, cooking fish in his motel room. Hadn't been fasting, hadn't been praying. Dr. Brown said, I'm sitting on the front row thinking, boy, in a minute, God's going to use me up there. And he said, Brother Billy got up and he began to sing. And so when he did, man, the power of the Holy Ghost saturated that place. Folks started getting saved, getting right with God. He got so high you couldn't do anything. Brother Brown said, I sat there the whole time. Yeah. Fasted and prayed all day. Never even got on the platform. He said it blew out for hours. He was riding in the truck with Brother Kelly. He said they got back in the truck. Brother Brown's a young preacher trying to learn. Yeah. So they got back in the truck with Brother Billy Kelly and he was leaving. Listen. Coon dog boxes in the back.
Yeah.
Brother Billy driving down there. If I know Brother Billy, he probably had something on his shirt he had spilled. He's riding back. Said in the silence, Brother Brown didn't know how to ask him about that. Said in the silence, Brother Kelly looked over at him. And he looked over at Brother Brown. He said, Brother Brown, he said, I sure love Jesus. Brother Brown said, you could feel God in that truck. He said, preacher, I can't explain it. I've been praying and that's right to do. I've been fasting and that's right to do. He said, but I wonder what that man had that day that made him like that. And he said, what I realize is he loved Jesus more than anything else in his life. And he had a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God loved him back. Well, I'm not de-emphasizing the other things. But I am convinced that one of the greatest ways to have power with God is to love Jesus more than anything else. Your pastor preached a message to my church that changed our church. I have a good church. God's using it greatly. But I'm going to tell you something. He preached one night. He probably preached it here. He preached that message, me first. Some of my people got a hold of it. Key people.
Thank God.
And son, I'm telling you, ever since then, You walk in, say Jesus, and it's on. Because people don't come for themselves. They don't come for me, but they say, oh God, we love you, and that's why we're here. Real quickly tonight, I want to give you a few things. Paul had power with sovereignty. First of all, he had a strong, faithful prayer life. Here's what Paul said about prayer. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you're speaking all the time, but it means you're in an attitude and a spirit in your life where you're constantly in fellowship with God. Why did Paul have such a touch of God on his life? Why did he have power with sovereignty? He had a strong, faithful prayer life. If I were to ask you tonight, honestly, do you have a strong, faithful prayer life? Preacher, of all the things in my life I've been put under conviction about since I've been saved, my prayer life has been the greatest. A fellow was mentioning to me about Brother Sammy Allen. Brother Sammy many times has had calluses on his knees. Where he stayed on his knees and prayed. I'm talking about a strong, faithful prayer life where we seek God and we stay with God and we beg. What could God do in Rogersville? What could God do right here in this church if somebody made up their mind, I'm going to have a strong, faithful prayer life? Secondly, he was separated from his past life.
Oh, yes. Preach right there.
Now listen to me. I am convinced that the secret to having the touch of God is holiness.
Yes, sir.
And a walk with Him.
No doubt about it.
I'm not talking about haircuts and clothing.
Right.
I'm talking about a love relationship. Where you so walk close to God. Where you have such fellowship with God. And I've learned this. If you ever get in touch like that and have fellowship like that, the rest of your life will work itself out. Because you want to love Him like you ought to love Him. And you want to be what you ought to be for Him. Paul was separated from his family. When God saved Paul, it changed him. We have a gospel that's preached today where people seemingly believe you can be saved and keep living like you live. And I'm afraid a lot of pastors are trying, they're trying their best to make those that are not sheep act like sheep. And what I'm saying is that if we're going to have a powerful life, if the devil is going to take notice of us, he doesn't mind church where everybody comes like a social club and shakes hands and fellowship and eats cookies and crackers and coffee and goes through the motions. But what he does not like is when our life is so different. Also, the power of God. Paul had a separated past life. Please, well, you won't. Some people do. Don't get quiet on this verse. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. God said, if you want my touch, you're going to have to walk different. If you want my touch, you're going to have to be different. And can I tell you this? What scares me is in fundamental Baptist churches, how many people look like it but don't walk it. I'm afraid we have a fundamental form of godliness, but not the power. Preacher, what are you saying? Paul had power with sovereignty. He He was strong, faithful prayer life. He was separated from his past life. Then I want you to see this. He was standing firm in his present life.
Yes, sir.
The demons would say, you know what? That fellow's going to stand. I'm talking about the devil taking notice.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you something that happened years ago. I was pastoring my first church and we were clearing the land. Matter of fact, I was on a tractor with a bush hog the day this happened. We were clearing the land for a new church building. And I had done several youth conferences and we had took a stand on rock music and a stand on the occult and Satanism. And that particular night, we're having a bonfire and a lot of young people that got right with God were getting junk out of their lives and burning those things. One of my men, I saw him coming across the field that I was bush hogging. He said, "Preacher, you need to get off the tractor and come here a minute." It's been years ago. I was probably at that time 45. Now I was probably 22 years old. I'm pastoring that church 2 or 3 years. He said, "Preacher," and he handed me a newspaper. And it said, "Church to burn rock." Had an article. And about the last 10 lines of that article, there was a group coming to protest what we were doing. Some tree hugger group. And they were coming in order to disrupt. And we were at that time going through a loan situation with the bank. And I knew everybody that was big wheels in that bank were watching that local gossip paper. Boy, all of a sudden the devil began to say, "You don't back off that thing. It's going to be all over the paper. Folks going to think y'all some kind of nuts. That bank's not going to give y'all that loan and you're not going to be able to do that building." I mean, all this stuff started flying through my head. The man standing there looked at me. He was one of my dear friends. He said, "Preacher, what are you going to do?" And so I looked at him and said something real spiritual. I said, "Brother, what do you think?" He said, "Preacher, I think we stood so far, we'll stand now. What do you think?" I thought, I ain't going to tell him what was going through my head, but I agree. You pray for us weaker brethren. Amen. So anyway, we decided we're going to go ahead and have it. I'm talking about standing firm. I'm talking about making the devil nervous. We decided we'd go ahead and have it. That afternoon, we got a phone call. It was the sheriff's department. Sheriff said, "Just the pastor of the church I saw in the paper having that burning." I thought, "Lord, some kind of permit, I know what." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You still doing that?" I said, "Yes, sir, we are." And the next word he said to me blew my mind. He said, "Good." He said, "I saw where somebody's coming to protest." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Don't worry about them. I'll have cars set up on all sides of that road. They come bother you one bit, I'll arrest every one of them, haul them all off to jail." He said, "Son, you burn that garbage. I'm sick of it myself." You say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" The whole time, the world tried to scare me. When God said, "Stand," I'm glad if you're a child of God. And if you'll stand for the Lord, you'll never stand alone. He'll stand by your side and He'll be faithful. You know what the devil would say about Paul? The devil would say he'll stand firm in his present life.
That's good.
Paul said, "Watch ye and stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a crowd that won't stand.
That's right.
And I'm not talking about being mean. God got me out of that a long time ago. I love God's people. I love the church. I'm not one of these preachers who walks in and think I'm better than everybody else or run everybody in the ground. I'm so sick of that mentality. I'm so sick of that independent Baptist thinks they're better than everybody else. Buddy, it wasn't for the grace of God and the blood of Jesus, we'd all be in hell, and we better realize that and thank God for it. I don't go in churches to try to hurt them. I go in and try to help. I try to help men of God. What made Paul... What caused the devil to say, Paul, I know?
Yeah.
He had power with sovereignty. Secondly, his presence in the sanctuary. Paul was faithful in missions. You say, preacher, how are you going to tie faithful in missions? Paul was most likely one of the best missionaries that ever lived on the face of this earth. Paul was faithful to get the gospel to others. Paul was faithful through the local church to win people to God. You want the devil to get nervous? Start giving faith promise missions. You want the devil to bother you a little bit? Fill out your faith promise card and say, this year I'm going to help so the gospel can go around the world. And the last thing the devil wants is that gospel to get a hold of somebody else. And the last thing the devil wants is for somebody else to get saved. And so all of hell will take notice and say, boy, we got to stop that crowd. You don't find too many churches that are not involved in it. Churches are not involved in missions, preachers. They're not bothered too much. You want to find a church getting bothered a little bit, devil fighting? Get faithful to missions. Paul's presence in the sanctuary. Paul loved the church. Paul established churches. Paul was a part of the church. There are folk. My wife was going through Walmart the other night. This lady come up and said, are you Brother Chris Hazel's wife? She said, yes. She said, oh, I thought you were. I'm a member of your church. Or I go to your church. And my wife looked at her and thought, never seen, who? What's your name? She told her. She said, well, I don't remember seeing. Well, it's been a while. What she was saying was, is I might have walked in one time and I remember his name and I say I'm saved, but to be honest, I don't go regularly. And can I tell you this? That crowd does not bother the devil. Now, y'all probably don't have them here because y'all advanced farther than we are, but we have Sunday morning Christians. I don't know if y'all have any of those. I have some. At Christmas, I wish a happy Easter to. I have some, no matter if it's Preacher Radcliffe preaching or myself or Jesus, they ain't coming back Sunday night. That crowd does not bother the devil. He's not worried about folks that's drinking drink, eating Doritos, laying on the bed, watching the race. That ain't bothering him a bit. But I'm going to tell you what bothers him. It's that crowd like this dear lady tonight said, I'm going to do everything I can. Get on out the house of God so I can be a part of what God is doing. Now let's be honest. This is the cream of the crop tonight, preacher. Wednesday night crowd's a big part of what all of us are. Just some of you worked hard today. Some of you tired. Physically tired. Some of you got in, might have even had a chance to get a bite to eat. Just came right on. There's even some of you probably done this before. You got home and you said, well, I know I need to go tonight. I don't feel good. I'm tired. Been fighting the devil all day. Maybe things going wrong at work. Cat and a dog got in a fight. Whatever, you know. And while you're doing it, you're in iron, you men are putting on your breeches and your belt. And putting on a dress shirt, and you ladies saying, "Well, I just think, I don't know if I'm going to go tonight. Been a hard day. I've fought the devil all day. I'm just tired. The whole time you and I, and you fixing your hair, and you putting on your dress. And before you know it, you're getting in the car. Well, I guess I'll go. But be honest with you, it's been such a hard day. I don't know what if I'll get anything. I hope I don't hinder anything. And you get out, and you get inside the church, and you sit down, and you say, "Well, I know I'm here, and I'm glad I'm here. But man, I'm so tired. And it's been a hard day. And boy, I've just been beat up." And then all of a sudden, somebody will start singing a song. Somebody will start preaching. Somebody will start praying. And the sweet Holy Ghost of God will begin to stir your soul. And you forget about all day and just what God's doing right now. I'm looking at some of you right now, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Pour it on them, Jesus. I love that crowd that says, "Hey, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Honey, how can I not serve Him? He paid it all for me. The devil went looking for you on Sunday or Wednesday. He ought to find you, church. I had some members of my church got a knock on their door one night. Sunday night. It's a neighbor across the street. Knocked on the door. The lady opened up the door. Felt miserable. Opened up the door, and the lady across the street, or gentleman, who it was, I don't know the situation, which one came, said, "You all right?" And the lady said, "Yeah, we're fine." Said, "My husband and I both got the flu. We're just sick. Just feel miserable." And the lady said, "How did you know we were sick? Why did you ask how we're doing?" She said, "Well," she said, "every Sunday, about this time, we always see y'all back out, and we know you go to church, and we knew it. And we knew if you wasn't in church, something must be wrong, because if the doors are open, we know you'd be there."
Hey, thank God.
Paul loved the sanctuary. He was present in the sanctuary. Now, I want you to watch this. He was faithful to missions, but he was also fired up about the ministry. Paul enjoyed serving God. Paul enjoyed. Here's what Paul said: "That I may know Him." He said, "And the power of His resurrection." You said, "Preacher, Paul was saved." Yeah. What that verse literally says is Paul says, "That I may know Him better." I like folk that get fired up about church. You know, there's some people, you can't fire them up with a Bunsen burner, man. You can forget it. I mean, listen, there's a few folk in my church, if they ever got excited, so help me, I'd turn around and say, "Lord Jesus, don't walk in the back door." But there's a crowd, he'll tell you, there's a crowd, there's some of them, all you got to do is open the door, say Jesus, and we have a church. Why? Because they're fired up about the ministry. The devil doesn't mind us going through the motions.
Right.
Listen to the statement I'm getting ready to make. You can leave church and never leave the building. You can leave church and still teach a Sunday school class. You can leave church and still sing in the choir. And by the way, choir, good singing tonight. But you can leave church and just still sing the choir. You can be there physically, but your heart ain't there. You know why the devil was bothered by Paul? Because he knew that Paul, when he went to church, he said, "I want to know Him better."
Yes, sir.
He come with his cup up.
Yes.
He said, "God, I want You to give me something." Not only was he faithful in missions and fired up about the ministry, but he was a finisher in the ministry.
Yes.
Here's words Paul said under inspiration. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. In Galatians, he said, you did run well. Who did hinder you? You know what he's literally saying, brother? He said, I don't get it. Why you quit? Who was testified? I didn't turn around a while ago. Man, God's been good to me. Hey, I'm going to tell you the truth. I grew up in a meal farm on a chicken farm. Meal town on a chicken farm. I'm telling you, my dad was lost most of my young life. And later on, I became his pastor. My mom carried me to church. But I'm going to tell you something, man. When I got saved, God called me to preach. I've only pastored two churches in my life. Really thought I'd only pastor one. And can I tell you this? God's been good to me. I have no sad story. You'll never hear me walk into church, start giving everybody a sad story about, boy, this is this. And I can't do it, man. God's been good to me. If all I had He took away, I would still have to say that God's been good to me. God's allowed me to preach to young people across America. God's allowed me to see thousands of teenagers saved. But don't you listen to me. I'm talking about a finisher in the ministry. You know who the devil's real scared of? Not people that start out fast. But people that finish right. I want to give you something to think about. Most people will never remember your start. Most people will never remember. They may not even been there the day you got saved. But they'll remember you finish. Preacher, I mean this. I got a 16-year-old daughter. She and I are very, very close. Very close. We're like best friends. My daughter and I just have a relationship that I thank God for. And I love my daughter. And she sings and loves the Lord. And I appreciate my family. But I'm going to tell you something. I would rather God take me. I would rather God stop my heart from beating. I would rather God put me in a grave. And I have not to finish right.
That's right.
And cause that little girl to turn away from God. Or break her heart. Hey, can I tell you this? You know who bothers the devil? It's the crowd that'll finish right. Make up your mind. You're going to stay with God. I want to give you a final thing. And then I have this one illustration I'd love to share. I didn't think about it. God put it on my heart and I'll share it with you. When Paul said, I want to finish right, here's something he said real quick. Let me give you this. He said, are they ministers? I speak as a fool. Here's what he said. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Hey, not in the day, I have been in the deep. Paul said, I have been through it all. Then he says this to Timothy. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Preacher, there's a whole lot of soldiers going home. And they've been faithful. And I'll be the devil and say, boy, I'm glad that crowd's gone. I'm talking about those like the Mays Jacksons and the J. Harold Smith and the Percy Rays. And those are the faithful old-timers, the Lee Robinsons. And those men of God that we think about through the years, B.R. Lakins and others. They said that old-time touch of God. And that crowd's leaving. But I wonder if the devil could say, oh no, here comes another crowd.
Yeah, boy, I hope so.
They bother me. Paul was a problem to the devil because of His presence in the sanctuary and because of His power with sovereignty. And then I want to say this, Paul was a problem to the devil because of his pursuit of sinners. Here's what he said. Listen now. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I appreciate your testimony.
Amen.
I do. Preacher, the average church you're going to has lost his tears.
Sure.
We're not broken over sinners like we used to be. People dying, going to hell all around us, and I'm not sure many times we ever shed a tear. Folks in our own family dying and going to hell. People we work with dying and going to hell. And sometimes we talk about so many other things. But never just go talk to them about Jesus. The devil does not like somebody that'll share Jesus with others. And he'll get on your case and he'll be glad when you're gone. Praise God, if you're going to be gone, take some with you. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? I want to share something with you. Several years ago, and I may have shared this with you in the Jubilee, I don't remember. I'm over 40. I've lost stuff I don't remember. Several years ago, we took a group of teenagers up to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee for a youth conference. I was not pastoring the kids. I took them for another pastor. We took about 40 young people out of that church. It was a large youth group. We went up to this meeting. I knew all the kids well. And in that meeting, 30 of those 40 young people got saved. 30 of them. One particular young girl that got saved, her name was Angela. And God so changed her life at 16 years old. I said, Angela, Amanda, I'm sorry. At 16 years old. Amanda was one of the most popular kids in her public school. Beautiful blonde hair, blue eyes, 16 years old. Very popular in her school. Very lost. She got saved in that meeting.
Yeah.
On the way home from the meeting, we stopped the bus at a truck stop area that had a couple restaurants, a Bojangles and a Wendy's restaurant. My wife and I went into the back and were sitting in the back. My daughter was young at that time. And we're sitting in the back at the restaurant. And Amanda Driver come in the door of the restaurant. Just got saved 2 days prior. She was weeping uncontrollably. I first in my mind thought somebody's hurt her feelings. I thought something's happened. She's got a call about something. And I said, sweetheart, what's wrong? She said, preacher, you're not going to believe it. Preacher, you're just not going to believe it. I said, what's wrong? She said, preacher, Mandy and I, was another girl with her, we were coming across the parking lot. And she said, a lady and her daughter approached us. Never met her. Had no idea who they were. And said, when she approached us, she said, I know you guys don't know me, but she said, our life is a mess. And she said, we need some help. She said, could you girls pray with us?
What about that?
Amanda's bewildered. They're in the middle of a parking lot at a truck stop. And they kneel down to pray.
Yes.
that 16-year-old girl begins to pray with that lady and her daughter she'd never met. And they got done. And they stood back up. And Amanda had to know. She said, "Ma'am, why did you stop us?" And here's what she said to her. She said, "When I saw you walking across the parking lot, I knew you'd been with God." She said, "It was evident on your life." Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Does the devil know your name? Are you a problem to him?
God help us, Jesus.
Why don't you ask God in the first night of this meeting, saturate my life?
Yes.
God, pour your power on my life. Some of you teenagers, why don't you say, "God, put enough God on my life that somebody will take notice." Some of you men say, "God, when I go to work, may there be enough power on my life." Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? You say, "Preacher, I want to be an aggravation to the devil." I'm going to tell you something, where a lot of y'all realize it or not. But when this service began, y'all sure were kind of aggravating. But not to me.
That's right.
Not to preacher.
No.
But I guarantee the devil's going, "Oh, here we go."
Yeah.
They're getting all fired up in you.
Amen.
Oh, he'll try to put your fire out. But I'm glad, thank God, greater is He's in me.
Yeah.
You say, "Preacher, what happened to Amanda?" Another boy got saved in another youth conference I was doing. I introduced him to Amanda. At that time, Amanda now was pushing 18, 19 years old. They end up getting married. I did their wedding. God called him to preach. She's now a pastor's wife, serving God.
Hey.
3 weeks ago, I hadn't seen him in a year or two. 3 weeks ago, I looked back in my auditorium. She was sitting back out with her family, two little boys. And they had had a homecoming or something in her church. And they were sitting back there looking up at me. And I thought the devil would say, "Jesus, I know.
Uh-huh.
And Amanda, I know.
Uh-huh.
I want to make sure he knows my name." Stand on our feet tonight. I don't even think I have to coax you in an invitation.
No.
I already can sense in this church you're wanting God to do something. That's evident to me.
Yes.
But I want to ask you tonight, does the devil know your name? Are you making an impact for God? Is the devil nervous because you're around? Does the devil get bothered because of your prayer life? Because of standing in your present life? Does the devil get bothered by your faithfulness to his house? Does the devil know your name? Does he?
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.